Please join me in an attitude of prayer. O God, as we receive your word through your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to your justice. Open our ears to your judgment. Open our hearts to your love. Amen. I don't know about you guys, but recently I found myself avoiding the news. Even in this age when you can get news 24/7, when it shows up on Facebook, on your phone, everywhere, I've done all I can to avoid it. Because sometimes it's just easier to curl up in a ball and cry and ignore it. Because there's a lot out there. No matter where you stand, there is fear and division. And as a whole, one can't help but cry for our country that has let fear and hatred divide us instead of love unite us. But as I continued to avoid the news, hide in my room or my home, I realized that in doing so, in focusing on myself and my feelings, I was acting like the priest and Levite in today's story. One of the reasons I felt called to pursue ministry was because I wanted to speak out for the other, speak truth to power. I wanted to bring more love and compassion into the world and create God's kingdom here on earth. Curling up in a ball, ignoring what's going on in the world, does none of these things. And so instead, here I stand, both to acknowledge the pain and suffering that is in this world and find hope and love, even when it seems impossible. Today's scripture is a parable that I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with, particularly used as a way to describe what it means to be a neighbor to others. Yet in focusing just on the parable, we ignore the context of the time and simplify the message that Jesus is giving us, the message that Jesus is trying to get across, how to love one another, even our enemy. To understand the parable, we must first understand the conversation between the lawyer and Jesus. Now, this man is not a lawyer in the sense that we think of lawyers today. He's not learned in the laws of government and society, but he is a Pharisee, a religious man who knows the laws of Moses and has a traditional view of what it means to be a follower of God. Now, scholars disagree about whether he was testing Jesus out of curiosity or looking for debate or genuinely interested in the answer. But they all agree that the Pharisee is looking for justification for his interpretation of the laws when he asks, "Who is my neighbor?" As the Reverend Catherine Matthews says, in the UCC Sermon Seeds, the lawyer is saying, yeah, of course. I know and I need that I need to love God. That's a no-brainer. Remember, I knew that answer to your question when you asked me what's in the law. I am a lawyer, after all. But give me a break, okay? Whom all do I need to love just as much as I love myself? Who is this neighbor whose needs and welfare need to be as important to me as my own? She goes on to point out that the question of who is my neighbor implies that the lawyer himself thinks there are people who are not my neighbor, people who it's okay not to love, and that Moses' law justify ignoring these people. It is that this debate that there are some people we don't have to love, that is behind so many issues in our world today, This idea that we can separate, that we can make somebody not like us less than human. If they're less than human, we don't have to love them. We don't have to share compassion for them. Whether we're saying things like Black Lives Matter, or Trans Lives Matter, or Refugees Matter, at the same time, all the responses back tend to be all lives matter. It acts as though when we signal out one group that we are excluding others and promoting the idea that there are people whose lives do not matter. When this is not true, but rather the exact opposite. In the case particularly of Black Lives Matter, it is saying that Black lives deserve to matter, deserve to be loved, because for so long, laws have justified them as being less than. In our world today, it's not just Black lives, it's trans lives, the LGBTQ plus community, refugees. So many in our world we are being told to use and view as other. And so when we respond and say, well, all lives matter, to a group that is already trying to be heard and already feeling oppressed, we ignore the reality that our nation, through systemic injustice, says that there are people who do not have to matter. The phrase Black Lives Matter has an implicit two at the end, as do all the different groups saying their specific group lives matter. It's saying that Black lives should also matter. By responding by saying all lives matter, one is willfully going back to ignoring the problem. It's a way of dismissing the statement by falsely suggesting that it means only Black lives matter, when that is obviously not the case. And so saying all lives matter as a direct response is essentially saying that we should just go back to ignoring the problem. In today's scripture, the lawyer wants to create a group of others and is asking for a law of the Bible to justify doing so. Saying all lives matter when clearly they are not as important as white lives in today's society is essentially looking for a way to continue just to justify ignoring the other. Jesus' response to the lawyer's question, who matters, is the parable commonly known as the Good Samaritan. Though funny enough, the word good never actually appears in the text. So often this parable is interpreted as a reminder that we should show compassion towards everyone, even those we do not like. And that is where it ends. It is used to justify one's savior complex. If I just help a few people in need with some good deeds this one time, then I have made their life better and I am a good Christian. Now, don't take this the wrong way. I do not mean to put down good deeds. Rather, I mean to say that Jesus, through the parable of the Samaritan, is showing that loving one another requires more than doing just some good deeds once in a while for people you don't like very well. The story begins with a man, presumed to be a Jew, traveling down from Jerusalem to Jericho. As he's traveling, he is robbed and left almost dead. As he's lying there, a priest and a Levite both notice the man but go out of their way to avoid him. They're not avoiding the man for any ritual purity concerns, because they're leaving Jerusalem, not going there. They just presumably do not want to deal with the man at this time. They choose that their needs are more important than this man. And then along comes the Samaritan, a shock for those listening to Jesus at the time. Samaritans were the enemies of the Jews, so much so that for some, including the man lying on the side of the road, death might be a more welcome option than being rescued by a Samaritan. From the Samaritan's viewpoint, the man on the side of the road was an enemy, the last person he should want to help out. Yet Jesus says the Samaritan was filled with compassion for his enemy and describes how the Samaritan went above and beyond doing one good deed. The Samaritan took action and made sacrifices to make sure his enemy would live. Even the lawyer who wants to limit his view of neighbors recognizes that his countrymen, the priest and Levite, have not followed the law. He cannot even say the name of his enemy, but he does see that the Samaritan is the one who shows mercy and love in line with God's commandment to love. Jesus tells the lawyer and is telling us to go and do likewise. Go and show compassion for those who are hurting and scared and need to be loved. Though we don't always want to admit it, there's a deep divide in this country caused by fear and hatred of the other. We still need the parable of the Samaritan to challenge us and remind us how to love one another. Being pro one thing while also being pro-refugee versus being pro-ICE or pro-law versus pro-life. They don't have to be against each other. We can show compassion for both and love both and mourn lives that are cut too short, no matter where they are in the world, no matter whether we agree with them or not. And yet, we are still called to admit that there are differences in how we treat those who are other, those who are not like us. It means sacrificing our comfortable lives to speak out for those who face injustice. One good deed does not a neighbor make. Excuse me. In the moment the Samaritan saw the man on the side of the road and decided to cross it, he put aside everything tradition had taught him about the other. He put aside fear and hatred and recognized this man as someone to love. As Christians, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. We know this, but there are times when the news cycle makes curling up in a ball seem so much easier. Doing nothing and crossing the road means we can avoid complications and arguments and challenges that take us out of our comfort zone. When we hear something sorrowful on the news, it's exactly why we need to come and return to the parable of the Samaritan. To come back and continue reading the conversation between the lawyer and Jesus. We need to be reminded that showing compassion and love to our neighbor means putting aside our differences. We need to be reminded to forget what society, what those in power have taught us about those on the other side, so that we can resist and refute the deep fears that continue to run rampant in our country. As the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. May it be so. May you go and do likewise. Amen.